Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to episode number 349 of Wealth Matters Podcast. I am going to talk to Mr. Jackery Bitch today. He's the partner of Smart Real Estate Coach, a 2X Inc. 5,000 fastest growing company focusing on transforming W2 employees into creative financing real estate investors. Welcome, Zach.
Apish, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate you having me on, and we're gonna have some fun today.
Absolutely. And I did not spill the beans during your bio because, you know, my first question is always, tell us something interesting or funny about yourself. So I wanted to hear from you.
Oh, something interesting or funny about myself. Okay. Well, interesting. I got bit by the entrepreneur bug before fourth grade. I used to actually live on a golf course. So I used to go collect golf balls. the tall grass. And yes. Then I used to go sell them for a dollar. I used to sell them for. I was giving them away. Now I realize I go golfing now, you get three for like $15. Yes. So I was selling myself short. But hey, it was the beginning of my entrepreneurial career. And I'm grateful that I was able to be in that sea at that time.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and this is an investment show. We talk a lot about real estate, of course, but not everyone starts investing in real estate from day one, right? So what was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, great question. So my first investment was actually an investment in personal development for myself. So, it was a lot of money for me at the time. So I was bartending and I was trying to figure out the best way to be able to really advance myself in my career and to make a dramatic change in my life. So what I ended up doing was I was speaking with a lady. She was at a BNI group. And I was currently at that time, I was doing healthcare products for an MLM company. And she approached me and was like, hey, I think that if you invest in yourself, then you're going to be in a really strong position. So what I did was I actually invested in a Bob Proctor program. And it was, I think it was about $1,000. And that was a lot of money for me at the time. But it was my trajectory from there, as I'm a huge believer in personal development. But that was one of my first steps and definitely my first big investment.
So you mentioned bartending. When did you realize that you are not made for bartending?
Oh, see, the thing was, I don't know if I wasn't made for it. I just didn't want to do it long term.
Right.
I absolutely loved, I loved bartending at the beginning. It was like a second college, but you get very burnt out over a period of time. See, I was bartending late nights and I was personal training early mornings. So eventually there was going to be a point where I was burning the candle at both ends. And when I was about 24 years old, about 4 years in, I just decided this wasn't the best fit for me anymore. I kind of made my way through the rankings from bar back to bartender to like the best position in that bar. And it just wasn't for me long term.
I see. And you mentioned that in the morning you used to train, you used to be a personal trainer. Is that what I heard?
Oh yeah. So I would personal train early in the morning. So this is what my schedule looked like. This is how insane it was. So I used to wake up early. I used to wake up early in the morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd personal train from like 5 to 10 a.m. Then I'd go home and take a power nap. And then at the beginning, I was working, in the, healthcare MLM for a while. So now I was building a network. So I'd do that during the days and then I would get ready and I'd bartend from about 7 o'clock at night to 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. And then I'd do that all over again. And then eventually when we talk about how I got involved in real estate, I just start adding that to my days as well. So
of course,
eventually.
You're 24 hours, not enough, man.
Exactly. I'm one of those people that if I have 10 hours of my day, I fit 12 hours worth of stuff into it. Not the best idea, but it's certainly something I do.
It's funny. So you make people drink till 3 a.m. and then at 4 a.m. you tell them you should not have drunk.
Exactly. Well, I would see the same people. Outmatched. You'd be surprised. Like I would see the same people that I saw that night. And like at night when I'm bartending, they come up to me and they'd be like, Zach, I'm so sorry. Like, I know I shouldn't be out drinking. And then I would see him the next morning. I'd be like, hey, see, I told you you shouldn't be out drinking because you're not losing any weight. Right. So it was like a never ending cycle. So needless to say, personal training definitely wasn't for me either because nobody was getting any results living in that town.
Yeah, because you kept pouring the wine and whatnot, right? Tequilas and, you know, all the cocktails, right? You're like, if I don't pour drink, then I'm not going to make money. And if I don't work hard in the morning, I'm not going to make money. Anyhow, so what happened from all that? Then you got into real estate. And what did you start doing in real estate?
Yeah, I started from the ground up. So I approached actually my father-in-law, Chris, which who I know you interviewed on this. Yes. He was in real estate for 20-something years at the time. Yeah, and he got crushed in 2008. So he was rebuilding his business through creative financing, real estate investing. So I knew that's why I approached him and I said, hey, I don't know if I'm going to like real estate investing, but this is good. It's going to be a lot better than what I'm doing right now. So if you're open to it, I'd like to start trying to do it. Luckily enough, he was. So what he did was so generously handed me a list of expired listings and said, all right, go ahead, start making phone calls to these people and let's see if we can start booking appointments and making offers on these houses. So during my days, instead of doing the MLM, I then just started hitting the phones and making phone calls. So stumbling my way through and really just cold called and to a point where I got good enough where I started to book real appointments and then good enough where then I could start actually making offers. And it took me about 6 months, full transparency, to get my first deal. And then after that, I burned the ships and quit everything else. And I was hooked. I was in real estate investing from there on out.
Well, that's good. And if you had to start over and if Chris was not there, what would you have done?
Yeah, it's an awesome question. I don't know. Like, I've been reading this book called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. Have you ever read that book?
No, I have not, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's all about, so he ends up becoming a billionaire, Michael Singer, and he just kind of, he surrenders to the world. He's like this yogi, surrenders, and then he ends up in all these business ventures that eventually made him like the CEO of WebMD.
Yes.
He like kept growing. So That's the way I kind of look at it. I'm sure there would have been another thing that came into my life, but real estate did. And I don't question it. I surrendered to it. And really it's brought me from, 10 years ago or just about 10 years, from bartender to to real estate investor, to CEO of a growing coaching company that's national. So we'll see what the next step is after that, but I'm not really sure. I don't necessarily ask myself that question. I probably should.
Oh, that's great. What is buying real estate on creative financing?
Yeah, so buying real estate on terms or creative financing, depending upon like what your age group is kind of depends on how you refer to it. And really what it is just solving somebody's problem. So buying real estate, creative financing is either controlling the debt on the property. This is known as like a subject to deal where somebody already has debt on the house and you go ahead and you purchase the property, but you keep the debt on the house and you're controlling that debt. Or it could be creating new terms on a deal that really are successful for both you and the seller. And that usually can come in the form of like a seller financing. So it's creative financing, I like to say, is like the water in a glass of ice. It's like it fits everything else. It connects everything else because if you look at all different types of real estate investing and or just businesses in general, like business acquisition, I know is really popular. It's really just being able to stack different types of financing together in order to really create a deal where maybe there might not have been a deal. Because if you even look at like high end, right, large buildings and development, there tends to be some seller financing in there. Now, are you always able to get 100% of it like we do in the single family space? Maybe not. But there's always a component of just understanding like where controlling a certain amount of debt or getting other people to finance the property for you, really without going to traditional banks, without personally guaranteeing debt and without putting out large down payments if you can get away with it.
Oh, that's amazing. And so couple of thoughts, right, on the terms and subject to, especially in this environment. Is it, I'm pretty sure it's great if you can get a subject to or term right now as an investor, because the interest rates have gone through the roof, right? If you are able to carry forward 3%, 4% interest. But is it getting harder to do subject to or term because people don't want to let go their, you know, 3%, 4% mortgage?
See, that's an interesting question that you're bringing up, because it's actually like, most people on other podcasts have the other perspective. And that's why I'm interested. That's why I was like, all right, let's take a step back here. Because it's actually easier to buy real estate with creative financing now than it was previous. And although most of the media is telling you that there's no, you know, inventory.
Right.
So it must be harder to buy real estate as an investor. It's about 40% of all the deals that were done last year were purchased from investors. They weren't from, you know, like Joe Homebuyer. That wasn't from the person that wants to live in their house. So actually, majority of the deals are done off market. So when people look on market, they're like, oh, there's no inventory. But so that in order to buy creative financing, or when you're buying creative financing deals, it becomes much easier, because what you're doing is you are providing a solution to a seller that the current market can't provide, right? Because what's happening right now is there's rising interest rates, which means that the average buyer that wants to become the homeowner is unable to qualify for most houses now. So now these houses are now sitting on the market longer. Sellers have unrealistic expectations because they think their house is worth what it was six months, 12 months ago. So now they're frustrated. So now when an investor like me comes in and says, hey, I actually have a solution, so that way you can actually still move from this property, right? Because no matter what's happening in the world, people still need to move. People still have financial challenges. People still inherit houses. There's all these things that are they're still happening no matter what's going on in the market. And we are just finding those people and then providing solutions. So actually buying subject to deals is easier nowadays than it was, you know, even 12, 18 months ago, because of the fact that people are looking for alternative options now, and the traditional market is not selling like it used to.
That makes sense. What is your transformational process to help W-2 employees become real estate investors?
This is something we've been focused on for so many years now. We figured out maybe like 7 or 8 years ago that a lot of people are starting to come to us because they were frustrated at their jobs. They believed they did everything right. Right. So they got a good college. They got a high paying job, you know, high five, six figure jobs, but they were frustrated. Right. I know you're about to go on vacation. A lot of people are traveling, but not traveling to places that they were hoping to travel. Right. They were traveling for work. They're going to Grand Rapids, Michigan, or Allentown, Pennsylvania, or, you know, Orlando, Florida, not to go to Disney World, but for business conferences, and all that, not fun stuff. So what we did is we started creating this transferable process, and we call it our genius model. So it's three components that we believe, if we focus on these three things, that somebody can transform into an entrepreneur and a real estate investor. So number one is mindset. And I like to always start there, because the personal beliefs, the personal baggage, the paradigms, you know, all of those are accumulation of where that person actually got to in life. So I love when people come to our community and they say to me like, hey, I want to make $1 million in the next 3 years. And I'm like, how much money do you make? They're like, $150,000. I'm like, and I'm like, how old are you? And they're like, 45 years old. So I'm like, it took you 45 years to get to $150,000 a year. And now you want to get to $1 million in the next three years. Like, we have a lot of transformation we need to change. And it all starts with that personal development, that mindset. So focusing there is the major first step. Then the second step is, and it tends to be the easiest piece, which is how to teach them a skill set, right? So when we look at our skill sets, when it comes to real estate investing, they really boil down to like three different pieces. You got the buyer skill set. So how to be able to work with buyers, whether that's rent to own buyers or you're dealing with rentals, you name it. And then the second piece is sellers, like how to best be able to structure deals with sellers through communication, through deal structuring, through negotiation. So, and then the last thing is portfolio control. And what I mean by that is we always teach our students or our members of our community to get the best deal possible. And then once you have that deal and you built rapport, you can always manipulate that deal. And I say this in the lightest way possible, to change the terms of the deal over the course of that deal to make it 10 times better or 5 times better. And that happens through just understanding how to control your portfolio. And then the last piece is the systems, right? So you have legal systems, you got CRMs and follow-up systems. And really, once you have the first two components of a mindset, skill set, and then we add the systems, now we can actually scale this company long term. Or if scaling isn't what you really want, well, let's at least set some automation, so now you can step off a treadmill eventually and we don't build you another job. As long as we're hitting those three components, and the interesting piece is you can't just hit them once at a time. It's like as each person evolves, you got to go back and revisit the mindset, the skill set, and the systems in order to continuously help them reach their goals.
Oh, that's amazing, man. How are you capitalizing on the current real estate market?
Oh man, we are doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down right now. What's interesting is this is the first time I've ever said in my real estate career that I'm excited about what the media has to say. You know, I'll tell you why this is important in a second. The Wall Street Journal just posted about like how seller financing may be able to help people and buyers acquire houses. And Yahoo Financing said something very similar, and so did Forbes. So what's actually happening is the current market is becoming more familiar with creative financing. The biggest challenge that we used to have as creative financing investors, you know, 10 years ago before it was popular, was we had to educate people about what that was. Now, when I pick up the phone, there's a majority of the conversations I'm having now where either they're familiar with the terms, meaning like at least the language, or they're actually have been presented offers and now they're familiar with the process. So now I just have to go in and utilize my credibility and utilize my skill sets that I've learned in order to be able to close on these deals. So that's one standpoint. And then the other one is because of all those factors I was talking about earlier, like, we're all in the right place at the right time to utilize these type of strategies, because let's look at even a completely different segment of the market. It's roughly 30% of all houses in the United States are debt free. Right. That's a huge market of potential seller financing deals. So where the sellers were willing and able to be your bank, because they see that there's a wave coming, right? And they may not want to participate in that wave ever again. So now as a creative financing investor, I could come in and show them how they can actually maximize the profit on that house by being very passive, by being my bank. And that's just one component. So it's like the time right now to understand this skill set is it's going to absolutely create, a decade, two decades worth of wealth if you really know how to maximize these skills.
No, this is great. So do you think this creative financing strategy will only work in certain markets? Because I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, so I'm just thinking about it. You know, every property is like $2 million. Most of this homeowners or even investors don't want to give up those 3% interest rates. They don't want to sell ever, basically, unless, you know, the property prices go back up to, like, let's say last year or maybe more, right? So does it apply to only certain markets or you know, it's pretty much in your cell? You may just have to change the strategy a bit.
What's interesting is we have 3 deals right now in the Bay Area. So as you bring that up, because, right, it's a very normal view to have, right?
Right.
Because we're looking at just like homeowners in general. And also, Elpis, you have real estate background. So that's what's always really easy for us to assume that sellers know things that we know. Because you're sitting there like, I wouldn't want to give up a 3% interest rate.
Right.
But the common seller has a different motivation, right? They may have a life event that's going on. They need to move. Or, you know, they may be behind on taxes. They may be behind on their mortgage. Like, you just don't know what's happening in their life. So all we can do is best understand, number one, the motivation on the house, and then number two, the finances on the property, and then present offers and have a co-creation or a plan that we work on them with to discover if we're a good fit to buy their house. The simple answer would then be, it doesn't matter what market you're in. We're in 80 plus markets. We're in some of the highest end markets, like, you know, San Francisco or say Southern California, like the San Diego area.
Right.
We have a couple of deals that just come to mind right now where one of our students and members of our community just got a $100,000 non-refundable deposit from selling one of these houses on rent to own. It was in Southern California to Florida, to the Midwest, you name it. You can be there. The difference that each and every investor is going to have is what their KPIs are going to be for that market. Because are you going to need to potentially do more work in the Bay Area because of maybe lower inventory or because of price range than you may need to do in, say, the Midwest? You might. Like, your KPIs, meaning how many people you need to talk to in order to result into a deal, could vary depending upon how hot the market is, right? So as long as we can strategically line that up to ensure that we create a predictable system, each and every market can be successful depending upon that person and how they're utilizing our system.
That's awesome. What are some of the mistakes you have made?
Oh, I was just mentioning one of the number one mistakes that I have made and our students make are assuming that the seller wants a certain thing, right? Or making assumptions about the seller. Because that has been the biggest deal killer of all deals. And that's because we literally set ourselves up to fail by assuming we know what the seller wants versus asking. Because in our world, it's usually five different terms that we're using, like price, interest rate, or none, balloon or amortization schedule, down payment or monthly payment. And within those five terms, if we're assuming that one of the terms is going to be the answer to the seller, we may absolutely be missing the mark. And most importantly, we may also be making creating a bad deal. So, like, for example, a lot of brand new real estate investors believe that if you do creative financing, that you have to give a seller a down payment or you have to pay retail price, because they've been so ingrained in these like common sayings like your price, my terms. So it's like automatically you have to give them retail price. But that's inaccurate, because really what we have to understand is isolating what the seller's like number one most important thing is, and then building the offer around that. So if the seller did tell me, all right, it is price, all right, great, at least I know now it's price. So now I have to make the other terms advantageous to me in order for me to want to pay retail price. So it has to be a win for the seller, a win for you, or it's not a good deal. I always like to tell people, like, you're Simon Cowell. You're the one buying. You're not on American Idol. You know, you don't have to perform. You have to ask the right questions in order to determine whether or not you want to buy that house. And just because you aren't paying cash or getting a bank loan doesn't mean that you have to buy bad deals. So I would say that'd be like the number one mistake that all of us that start in real estate investing, especially creative financing, make or assume.
That's great. Do you think a recession or real estate crash is coming?
Mm. Yeah, we get this question asked.
Almost every podcast. Yeah, of course, right?
Well, and the reality is nobody knows. The billionaires don't even know, right? Or the people all the way up at the top in the government don't even know.
Yeah, they have all no clue, actually. All we can do is best prepared.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the higher up you get, the less clue you have. I think all we can do is best prepare for the worst, right? And expect the best. I was having a great conversation with another entrepreneur of mine, completely irrelevant to the real estate industry. And she said to me, she's like, one of the number one things that I look for in entrepreneurs to determine if they're going to be successful or not is their optimism of the future. Not being naive that there's not challenges, but being optimistic of the future. So let me say this. If a recession happens, creative financing, huge opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Less people
everywhere.
Right. Huge opportunity. We mentioned this earlier. Large amounts of people have low interest rates. Well, you have a really good opportunity, even if the house is like at a break even, at a traditional sub two, you can go in and buy those properties. Or seller financing, all these sellers with huge amounts of equity, right? If they believe we're going into a recession, they're going to be more up to want to sell. And so now you have another opportunity just in there in order to go acquire more real estate. But even on our back end, so we sell typically on rent to own, or we have some rentals as well. But even in the rent-to-own space, the more buyers can't qualify for loans, the more opportunity there is in order to now sell on rent-to-own, which means that we're going to now be able to capture cash now, monthly, and back-end profits. So if it happens to be a recession, we're in a great spot. If the market increases, we're also in a great spot. What's most important is within creative financing, these are the three things that matter, right? I'm not going to a bank. So my liability is not there. It's very risk averse.
Right.
I'm not personally guaranteeing the debt. Extremely risk averse. So even if a recession happens, I can put my head on my pillow at night. And I'm also not putting out a lot of money, especially in comparison to what is being required from banks right now. Does it mean that you don't put down payments on houses? If you're brand new, you probably shouldn't. But if you're a seasoned investor, you know, maybe you're putting up to 5% on a property on a seller financing deal or even 10, but with the rest of the world, you need to put down 20%. So we're not putting out as much money. So it's not as at risk. So honestly, the flux that we're in the real estate market, the biggest opportunity, especially from a risk averse standpoint, is creative financing, because that's the highest upside with the lowest downside rate.
And thank you so much for sharing all the golden nuggets. Are you ready for fire round?
Oh, fire round. Let's do it.
Yep. Would you be changing business or investment strategy because of the current environment? Inflation is still high. Interest rates are even higher.
Yeah, great question. I would not at this time. I'm doubling down on our real estate investment. I would say this. There's lots and lots of tired landlords, though, too. So I would say in the small multi space is also a major opportunity outside the single family investment space. And so that also could be a really great, niche to dive into right now in this investment space, because you're always going to need more rentals,
yes,
right? There's never enough rentals.
Yeah, I agree. Favorite nonfiction book.
I just read Shoe Dog again. That was another really good one. So I'm a huge biography guy. I love diving in and listening to people's journeys, because the entrepreneurial journey is just, it's not easy, right?
Right.
There's so many ups and downs. You're making calculated bets, and you're dealing with personal challenges, business challenges. So I always like to hear how others go through it. So just what's coming to mind right now is Shoe Dog, and then that, the Surrender Experiment. Those are the two books I'm re-listening to right now.
Got it. Any tool or website you recommend, or you use it for your business every day?
Yeah, there's a couple of tools, but we use for our CRM, which has been really helpful for us and all inclusive, and includes websites and phone numbers. REI Black Book has been, a big one. Damon is a good friend of mine, the CEO and owner and founder of that company. So that's been really helpful for not only us, but for our students.
Any advice for real estate investors right now?
You got to get in the game. I talked to too many people, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're like, yeah, we think that quarter one, we're going to go into a recession. So we're going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're going to keep saying that for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
There's that saying, right? Real estate and wait. So if your strategy is to hold on to some of these real estate deals, or to get good creative deals that you can hold on to for a long time, then it doesn't matter when you buy, because eventually that property is going to be worth more money. Plus you should be able to cash flow that asset during this time frame as well. If you're going to go get new debt right now, it's going to be a little bit harder. But if you're diving into creative financing, you can still get those low interest rates. It's going to be a lot easier to cash flow a lot of these properties. So I would say just you got to get in the game. And that way you can at least start failing forward, right? And start getting paid on some of these deals.
How do you give back?
Yeah, so there's two ways. The first way is definitely give back with my time. I tend to do it more. It's not that I'm like giving back to a specific charity with my time, but I got two young kids and there's always something going on in their life that I'm trying to participate in. And my way to give back is to make sure that I'm raising two great humans into this world. So with everything I have going on right now, multiple businesses and two young kids, the way I give back is to try to make sure that I have good, respectable, smart kids that can go out in this world and do something big. And then the other one is every single deal that we do, we give back to my brother-in-law. He got into a snowboarding accident. And he fell on his head and had to relearn how to walk, talk, and eat again. Amazing story. Now he does keynote speeches, but also is a real estate investor with us and has been for quite some time. And helps out all of our community members sell their houses. He's a rent-to-own specialist. So we give back to the company Franciscan's Children's Hospital in right outside of Boston, Massachusetts, a portion of all the deals we do.
This is amazing. How can my listeners reach out to you?
Yeah, I want to make sure that everybody has access to our first Amazon best-selling book. So that way, if creative financing is something that you want to dive into more and really believe I'm biased, but I really want to believe that it's a technique for you to use, go to wickedsmartbooks.com/wealth2. That's wickedsmartbooks.com/wealth2. You can go ahead and grab the book. We're going to head and ship it out to you for free. That way you can start diving in and really learning the ins and outs of creative financing. And I encourage you to put it to work.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today, Zach.
Yeah, you as well, Peace. And enjoy your amazing vacation. That sounds like
fun. Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.